Good morning, the church. Thank you. So glad that and knowing that we were coming to see you. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, your love for the believers and our church, and the hope stored up for you in heaven. We want to share with you what we have experienced in the mission field during the past 4 years. As we have taught and explained the gospel so that faith in our Lord and understanding of His mission would grow among the Chinese people where we work. It is your faithful prayers and financial support that make our ministry possible. And because of you, we have less worry for ourselves and give more attention to God's work. We deeply appreciate and thank you. This is our first official review and church visitation of our first term in the field. And it has been a short 4 years journey from our commission in September 2013 until now. Yet, there has been a good deal of change. We were originally sent to Macau to serve the Macau Bible Institute and Evangelize China Fellowship with its Grace Chapel and Macau Fellowship Orphanage. In Macau, our daily work was to help Macau Bible Institute complete the renovation of the old campus and relocate to a new, more suitable campus. Emerson, as the administrator of the school, was responsible for that process. We also developed and implemented a Master of Divinity program. This summer, the institute graduated its first student from the program. And my responsibility was threefold. First, teaching spiritual transformation. Second, supervising each student's field of study. And third, as the chaplain, I encourage and counsel students in their spiritual growth through understanding and growing in discipleship. Our weekend ministry was at Evangelize China Fellowship's Grace Sunday School, and I preached once a month. There were occasional interactions with the children at the Macau Fellowship Orphanage, which resulted in some precious relationship. As they occurred, there were occasionally projects and activities. The first year in Macau was the most difficult. We had to adjust to the new culture, the pollution of the environment, and the chaos caused by division and the conflict in the administration and the faculty at Macau Bible Institute. But God helped us as we went through all the difficulties, some with tears, but there were also lots of joys and some positive outcomes as well. This July, we made a return visit to Macau Bible Institute to attend its graduation seminary. And the principal and several local pastors made positive outcomes that through IM's support and partnership, the institute was stabilized. Otherwise, would hardly exist now. In ECF, we not only share God's word and offered spiritual guidance, but also provided an example of parenthood because we were the only couple, husband and wife, working with the children. All of them, age 5 through 18, came from broken and dysfunctional family, and some were orphans. And praise the Lord, about a month ago, 4 out of 6 of Emerson's Sunday school students were baptized. And our
experience serving at MBI prepared us for our transition to our next ministry assignment. In November, 2 years ago, we represented international ministry and attended the 30th anniversary celebration of the Amity Foundation in Nanjing, China. We shared our ministry progress with our supervisor, Dr. Ben Chen, who is the area director of India and East Asia, and Dr. Reed Trusen, the former executive director of IM. In conversation, both of them mentioned another Macedonia call similar to the one we received when we were originally called to Macau. The call for help was from the Yunnan Christian Council and the three self-patriotic movement churches in the Yunnan province, China. They had invited IM to help with the theological training among their ethnic Christian minority. The need was twofold: to improve the quality of the teachers at the training centers, and to improve the training given to the leaders shaping the churches. And the goal is to increase the number of adequately trained leaders so that more people will receive the gospel. There are many sheep and very few shepherds. After hearing of the need and much prayer, we followed God's leading, and in just a few weeks, we moved from Macau to Hong Kong to develop a new training ministry to ethnic minorities in Yunnan province. The outfit Emerson and I wear today is from the Su tribe. And the Yunnan training ministry requires the requirement of many pastors, teachers, and volunteers who have the gifts of teaching and the mission. So in this new assignment, most of our last year and a half was spent in regularly visiting 15 Chinese Swatow Baptist churches in Hong Kong, which have historical origins with IM, and in networking, making connections with people outside the church. Despite the challenges of recruiting training teachers with obstacles of language, denominational barriers, and interaction between the house church and the three self church in mainland China, we have made 5 trips with different teams to Yunnan, including doing teaching and training at the only seminary of this province, and at 4 Christian training centers of the Hua, Lahu, and Li Su tribes, who are ethnic minorities in different regions of the province, and visiting 14 churches located in the nearby mountains. Many of your prayers and God's grace sustains us because travel in the rural and mountainous area is often a challenge. Thank you very much. The outcomes of this ministry included training 600 students in 4 training Christian centers, planning a teacher conference to be held next February, granting scholarship to 5 seminary students, and delivering 800 theological and Christian books to their libraries. Each trip, each person can only carry less than 10 books. We would like to introduce a dear sister to you. Her name is Sherry. She lives in Hong Kong. We met her in a church visit. After the visit, she contacted with us to have another fellowship. At that time, she was in the spiritual valley and following several fellowship with discipleship, she joined us in one of the training trips to Yunnan as the translator. After the trip, our Lord renewed her spirit and her faith was revived. And since then, she already went to inland to serve the Wa people alone by herself 3 times. The video you are going to see is from her last trip with a team she recruited from Hong Kong to provide children's Sunday school training among Wa people. God's promise never fails. So God always goes before us to prepare the way through inland ministry, though inland ministry was slowing down this year. God opened another door in the second half of last year so that we could reach churches, seminaries, Christian organizations, and other believers in Taiwan and Singapore. We trusted him to use this time of restricted travel to inland for his ultimate glory. So last year, about every other month, we were on the road to different places. Based at Hong Kong, God allows us to build a mission network with the global Chinese churches in the world. So far, the areas where we have ministered include Macau, Hong Kong, Yunnan, China, Taiwan, and Singapore. Our calling now is to partner with the Chinese churches scattered overseas, asking them to work with us as we work in mainland China, building relationships, discipling people, and creating new communities who will enter into relationship with Jesus. We have a unique privilege to be able to do ministry in China, and God is opening doors to other people groups as we work on sharing from everywhere to everyone. And we are creating opportunities by which Chinese Christians can be engaged in mission outside their borders. And we are presenting opportunities for the Chinese churches to do mission work in many different settings around the world. The love of God, Jesus, is never shared in ways we had never dreamed. In our next term, beginning September 2018, we will promote the Global Chinese Mission Network to create a network platform to enhance strategic mission partnership with churches and mission organizations alone, but not limited to the Pacific Coast in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Vancouver, and the Atlantic coast in Toronto and New York, where there is significant number of people of Chinese descent and strong Chinese churches. Many overseas Chinese organizations, congregations, and seminaries are blessed with great human and financial resources. They no longer simply receive God's blessings, but they have been pooling the resources to serve around the world. The goal of our future ministry is to grow their vision, to double their capacity for ministry at home and abroad. And for us, the key is partnership. So please pray that God will provide more long-term missionaries, volunteers, trainers, mission project promoters, short-term mission teams, and the graduate interns to join and help the expansion of this mission. Living in Macau and Hong Kong, I remember that Peter used the word Babylon at the end of 1 Peter to refer to the culture of Rome that he saw while living there. And in the early days of the New Testament, the city of Rome was the political hub of the Roman Empire. The life of Roman was contrary to the life taught by the gospel. So he urged the churches to whom he was writing to stand firm in the true grace of God through the teaching in his letter. Today, my sharing here is to help you understand the cultural environment and the difficulties of our ministry in those cities. The scriptures shared today are 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, but love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Although the Bible does not give a specific time for the ending of all things, near means coming at any time. Peter wrote his letter about 2,000 years ago, but we need to hear his words again. The Lord Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24 that before his coming and the end of the age, which is the beginning of the ultimate disaster, nation will be rise against nation and the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. This summer, Hurricane Harvey and Irma swept across Florida. The fires in Northwest America caused death and destruction. The earthquake in South Mexico and Typhoon Haiyan, which hit Hong Kong, southern China, and especially Macau, had the devastation of the hurricane on Caribbean islands caused us to think of the warnings of the last days. Many signs show the end of all things is near. Time's up is possible at any time. So what does the end of all things is near mean to you? Do you hope the Lord will come soon? Martin Luther said, I live as if Christ died today, yesterday, and rose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow. If you really know that Christ and also believe that the end of all things is near, you should be in a spirit of wisdom and watching. Being sure that you will not regret any word you say or action you make. Showing love does not close one's eyes to people's faults, but love does not deliberately find fault and expose it to provoke a dispute or humiliate God's name. Love can be tolerant. For the sake of the name of God, love can endure humiliations and silently bear grievance or brothers and sisters' misunderstanding. And the purpose of love is to express the character of Jesus. This kind of love is not just emotional. It is an action of will. It is a kind of love that prays for those who oppress you. It's the true love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. And the true love put others before ourselves. It is not prideful, nor does it seek attention. But love acts for the benefit of others so that God is glorified in all things. The most common challenge I have in my daily life in Hong Kong and Macau happens while shopping. All girls love shopping. Whether it is in a food market or in any shop, in my first experience after arriving, the seller was rude and ignored me or marked up the price of the items I was buying. Slowly, I learned that this was reality. So as a foreigner, not speaking the local dialect, I should expect it. So because of politics, nationality is a sensitive issue and all shopping is very difficult. Nevertheless, in spite of many pleasant, unpleasant things, occasionally some wonderful things had happened. For example, the first time I went to a barber shop near the house to get a haircut, I still couldn't speak Cantonese, so I spoke Mandarin from the moment I walked in Hong Kong. Most local people speak Cantonese and can understand some Mandarin too. I explained that I had not had time to have my hair cut and it's really needed. The issue of no time immediately triggered his temper, and the conversation that followed was a kind of a question such as where I come from and my views on the political issues. About halfway through the conversation, he said, "We, the barbers, do not need to tell you our names. You just need to know what number I am." Not knowing how to respond, I remembered the Bible says, the sheep listens to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So it reminded me to listen to the Spirit, to see and fellowship with the barber as Jesus would do in the next conversation. When I was going to leave and pay the fee, he said to me, "My name is Joe." 3 weeks later, a few days before we were leaving Hong Kong to come back to the United States, we went to him. His conversation began with humorous joke and a smile. "It is definitely less than a month from the last haircut, isn't it?" Wow, this lovely friendship began with difficulty, yet the love of Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit brought change. I give thanks and praise the Lord, that the glory be given to the Lord God of heaven. Please pray for him, because a month later, we will go to him again. A week later, we have a work trip to Asia, a month. Before we came to here, I will go to him. Okay, waiting for the good news. So fear gave way to friendship. Love is made complete among us through imitating Jesus Christ's sacrificial love. Peter's last reminder in his letter was to stand fast in the true grace of God. It makes me think seriously about God's word and the Christian behavior. Whether it in personal spiritual renewal or in the fellowship and the communication of believers in their own church or between the churches in the same country and even in the cooperation between churches in different countries. God's word are universally true in every time and place and must be acted upon the truth. As a true follower of Christ in this world, each of us must give an honest and thankful response to the grace of God and thereby reflect the image of a holy nation, which is what the church is called to be. Then, when we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord God, we will be able to give a good account of our lives. Friends, are you ready yet? Do you see the hands of God doing good things in all parts of the world, even just around you? In our daily life, be careful to watch, pray, and live in love with each other, giving hospitality to each other, and serve as a good steward of God's gifts. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The Lord expects our engagement and co-working with Him. Love is an action verb. Love is showing by action. The change before you today, the challenge before you today is that I ask you in your prayers, not only to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field, but also to say, Lord, open my eyes to see the need of service. I'm here. Send me, use me, because I'm ready for it. I'm willing to be equipped more so. Please increase my faith and strength and grant me a cert to love you more deeply. Yes, the ultimate call is to love Jesus back, to follow his heart. My dearest friend, listen, pray. Listen, pray loud. Listen quietly. Answer his call. So if God calls you to serve in a particular way, I encourage you to seriously pray and generously give to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Pray first and respond to the call. God wants your light to shine brightly wherever you are. So God will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant.